I've been reading in 1 Peter chapter 3. We'll go there. Starting in chapter 3. Verse 8. 1 Peter 3, verse 8. I'm actually using the NIV right now. Finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. That's already a big horse pill to swallow right there, isn't it? If we're honest. Do not repay evil for evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. If there's a blessing that I'm going to inherit from the Lord, I don't want to disqualify myself. According to that right there, I can disqualify myself from God's blessing. Do y'all get that? For whoever would love life and see good days, whoever would love life and see good days, do you know what those two equal? Love life and see good days. That equals peace. David said in the song that we were just singing, I would have fainted if I did not believe that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Do you understand that that meant there were some tough times going on? But David said, I'm going to hang on. I'm not going to tap out. I'm about to faint here, but I believe that I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You know what that says? Hold on. Sometimes you just hold on. Sometimes you just hold on. Whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. James says that your tongue is an unruly mover, member, an unruly member. You've got members of your hand is a member, your foot is a member, your tongue is a member. My dad always told me, he said, son, be careful about your tongue. It's in a slippery place. You will have said something that you can't take back. The Bible describes it also like an arrow that you shoot. You can't ask the arrow to come back, can you, Billy? It's gone. Arrow's gone. And wherever you shot it, usually when you shoot it with your tongue, it hits its mark in the bullseye. Doesn't just hit around the target. It's a direct shot. At least the person that caught it, you hit them right in the heart. Be careful with your tongue. But it didn't say should. You should keep your tongue or you should keep your lip. It says that you must, he's given a requirement right here to get an inherited blessing, must keep the tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. I'm telling you, that one right there, that it's not just saying don't tell lies, you must not tell lies, keep you from deceitful speech. You ever used your speech to just kind of like, just kind of like, Just throw a little bit of doubt in there. They say he didn't do it, but they say she didn't really do that, but I don't know. I'll read on. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Say, that's me. I think. Will you still love me if I make you think a little bit this morning? Because he's talking about requirements right here. Because it's real easy for us to push ourselves into the good lane. Can I tell you something somebody really wise told me, and I learned to believe it? All my critics aren't wrong. All your critics aren't wrong. All of them aren't wrong. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. Can you say thank you, Lord, for that? I think. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, I want us all to be righteous, but it can only mean one thing. Righteousness can only mean one thing. And understanding this about the righteousness of God and about his righteousness on us, it is his righteousness, not ours. But with that, it draws a very careful distinction and a very straight line. And I want to be on the right side of that line. Now get the picture of the Lord. His eyes are on the righteous. His ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. His head is not swiveling for this. His head is looking one way. And what makes the distinction between righteous and unrighteous is found in our lips and in our mouth. See, God can look at you. My grandmother told me this. Boy, she set me straight one time. I was a kid. I was cutting up. And I had walked into Spankinville with Grandma. Can I tell you how hard it is to get to that place with a grandma? It just seems like with a grandma, you can do almost anything and bypass Spankinville. But she looked at me one time, and here's what I thought I could do. Can't they do almost anything back there? I see you. He can do, Jackson, it's not fair. Jackson with that hair, he can do anything with that hair he wants to do. But it's going to be real hard to get into Spankinville land with a grandparent. But my grandma told me this one time, because I thought, even though I had walked into that territory, I thought I could make her laugh and be cute, and she'd forget about it. And she looked at me, and she used both names. And you know when they use both names. And when Grandma uses both names, she said, John Mark. In the South, that's actually J-O-N-M-A-R-K. But I had reached that point, the spelling changed to J-O-M-M-A-R-K. John Mark. Well, it's not John Mark anymore. It's John Mark. I can spank you and laugh at the same time. Can I tell you, I was in danger. It was severe. The army is vast, Lord, but my eyes are on you now. But that's where I had reached with her. And I want you to understand, God's eyes are on us. And his ears are attentive to us. And he makes up his mind correctly. He judges correctly. He is the just judge. And he sees it all. And we can't be cute enough to keep him from being God. Because he's going to be God regardless of how cute we think we are. What God sees and hears makes the distinction of righteousness out of our mouth. And he said, you must keep your tongue from evil and your lips from deceitful speech. If you would love life and see good days, which is peaceful, you must do these things. So I want to throw this one thing at you. Sometimes your peace is a result of what you don't say. Everything in life is not waiting on you to make a verbal response to it before we move on. Sometimes God wants to see, can I be quiet? Can I be quiet? Can something happen and me be quiet? Do you know that Hezekiah was a prideful man? Do you know that in Hezekiah's day, he did so many awesome things, and his pride got caught up in it. But there were people that came from near and far to see. He actually took a river and diverted the river and brought it into the city. That's the kind of thing that's the kind of accomplishment. And in those days, without bulldozers, the only bulldozers they had was a guy they nicknamed Dozer and another guy they nicknamed Bull. That was your bulldozers, moving big rocks and doing whatever it took to channel that water. That was supposed to be funny. It's kind of not. I can do better than that. I'm kind of disappointed in me in that one. But this is what the Bible said about God. He visited Hezekiah because Hezekiah repented. But then it says that this, it says, and God withdrew himself from Hezekiah to see what he would do. It does not discredit the scripture about he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us. His eyes are on everybody. But he can withdraw himself. Can I tell you, God can see from a long way? He withdrew to see what Hezekiah's response would be, if pride would show up or not. Is this something I did or is this something God did? Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, verse 14, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer. Christine, what you just said a minute ago. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope you have. Scripture's not over. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. So the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are attentive to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So his direction hasn't changed. Against those who do evil. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Let's define evil correctly. Evil does not equal evil. Evil does not equal evil just because you disagree with me. That doesn't make it evil. What makes it evil is when we disagree with God. There's lots of things that I thought was right that I have learned were not. And there was a time in my life I would have stood behind that and said, no, this is right. But I've learned that's not right. But if God says something, it's right when he said it. It's right when 1,000 years go by. It's right when an eternity happens. It'll still be right. But we can get mixed up. And even a believer can call a believer evil because they're out of agreement with each other. But what truly makes it evil is when we're out of agreement with God. And that's what he's looking at. And he's really saying there are some things that could be silly in your life. And only thing that matters is that you're in agreement with him. Do not fear what they fear, because it's talking about suffering that is coming. He's talking about in the times when suffering comes, well, suffering will be defined by someone else's threat. Sometimes all they got to do is say it, and that's what causes the fear. It's not even the act of the threat. It's that they gave a threat to start with, and then the threat goes to your head. You see people use this term, or you hear people use this term. You see what I'm saying? Like they're trying to explain something to you, and they say, "You see what I'm saying?" Has that ever happened to you? That's kind of a little common term in our house, because I say that a lot. We say that a lot. You see what I'm saying? I tell Christine something. You see what I'm saying? Walker says it a lot. Well, Dad, this happened. Blah, blah, blah. You see what I'm saying? It's just kind of a little thing that we do. But someone can give you a threat, and all of a sudden, you see what they're saying. Nothing happened. It just painted a verbal picture in your mind, and you see what they're saying. Well, the scripture says this about that. It says this, do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. Here's the thing about threats. People threaten you with what they are afraid of. They threaten you with what they perceive as a bad outcome. And the Bible says this, if you're frightened by that, then they've already got you. But if you do not fear, you disarm the threat. You dismantle what they're trying. It foils their plan. When you're not afraid, can I tell you who goes into fear mode? The enemy. You know what I believe the enemy is afraid of? The enemy is afraid that you're not going to be afraid. Because if you're not afraid, then fear is not a part of the equation. And fear is one of his number one means of trafficking in your life. How many threats has the enemy brought to your mind that did not come true? You ought to thank God for that right there. But how much time was wasted? Wasted. Can I tell you where you've got to be careful at? It's how many voices you have in your life. Kind of love you enough to tell you that. You've got to be very careful about who you let speak into your life. Include this guy right here. You need to be very careful who speaks into your life. But if you find someone who speaks from a biblical place, you need to be careful to continue to resource that and keep that in your life. I cannot even, when I made a move to leave a denomination and I did not have sin in my life, I wasn't cheating on my wife, I didn't get caught with a DUI and all this stuff and shame the denomination. I made the choice to leave a very, very comfortable, optimistic setting where I was told, if you'll stay here and do this, this is what will happen to you. And I said, I'll see you later. Because my promotion comes from above. And I wasn't trying to be mean. I'm telling you, that came after a long, long time. But I knew when things had to separate for me. And I left something that was otherwise quite comfortable. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. In your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. So that's something that you have to do. That's your response right there. And it has to be your response. There are responses that you must make. Those are the ones where he says, you must. And when he says, you must, I'm just the voice for that. I'm just moving my lips and words are coming out as I read what he said. You must. But he gives you a great insight. Do not fear what they fear. Their threat is because they're using a threat. They're using something that strikes fear in them if it were coming their way. But if they can aim it at you, it becomes a weapon for them. But your shield is that you do not let yourself go to fear mode. You don't let yourself go to frightened mode. Now, there's scripture that talks about as we obey the Lord, if we are His righteous ones that are coming into His salvation, that He is able to shield us from the enemy. How wonderful. He will shield you by His mighty power. Can I tell you that that's enough for me right there? That's enough for me for Him to be my God. If the enemy whose MO is to kill, steal, and destroy, and I know that he's at that all the time, if I've got a God that shields that attack, then I've got a God. Amen? So let me move to this. I had said this. I'm gonna shorten this way up. Jehoshaphat, explained that a minute ago, but the three things that he prayed in his prayer before he said this, let me just read them. Are you not the God who is in heaven, ruling over kingdoms and nations? Power and might are in your hand. That's what Jehoshaphat said as he prayed, as the enemy was coming, as the enemy was advancing. He said three things. He said, are you not, did you not, will you not? I preached this two weeks ago. Are you not the God who is in heaven, ruling over kingdoms and nations? Power and might are in your hand. Did you not drive out the enemy? And will you not judge them? For we have no power against this vast army that is attacking us. But we do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Then they began to sing loud praises unto God, and God set ambushes. God set traps. God set traps. Last week, I just gave you a couple of things where Paul said this about God. He said, you are the God that delivered, you are the God that does deliver, and you are the God that will still deliver. It's basically the same picture of God in the Old Testament as it is right now. You're the God that had my past. You're the God that has my presence. You're the God that will have my future. Can you guys say thank you, God, for that? Thank you for that. I believe that. I believe you believe that. So I'm going to go to this, the last thing, and I'm skipping a whole lot. As they began to sing praises, back in Jehoshaphat's day, as they began to sing praises, the Lord set ambushes. In other words, the Lord set traps for them. And if you remember, the only thing that they did was that they came down and went into the valley. God's people went down into the valley, and God had them perched on the side of a hill to see down into the valley what would happen. And as they watched and as they praised, God set traps and ambush, and those people began to fight against each other. And the Bible says this, that every one of them were dead at the end of the thing. And all that God's people had to do was to go down and collect all of the riches that were there on the ground. And it said it took them 3 days to haul it all out. Not the picture that the enemy had painted. Remember this, that Elijah conquered Baal's prophets. As soon as that happened, the wicked Jezebel sent this message out. She said, what happened to those guys? Be that unto me, same death, if within a day I haven't done the same thing to you. And Elijah got scared and he ran. Remember that? But can I tell you that she was actually prophesying her own death? And it wasn't just a death. After her death, the cleanup committee were dogs. And it came and lapped up her blood. So the Lord set traps. Can I tell you that there is a copycat out there? And can I tell you what he loves to do? Set traps. And you know how he likes to set traps? Getting you to talk. I got someone very close to me who's had to spend considerable time in the justice system, actually over a church matter, and keeps getting called back into court. And this is what he figured out about the lawyers, is that when they ask me a question, they're really setting up three questions down. So what I say right here is actually what I will have to defend down here. And this answer will have to be in agreement with this answer. There's a whole lot of thinking that goes on. Because if this answer does not agree with this answer, then all of a sudden we shape the jury. You understand what I'm saying right there? Traps. Lay traps. 29 times, at least 29 times in the New Testament, religious people tried to set traps for Jesus. They sure did. They continually tried to catch him in his words. And you know what I love about Jesus? He's so smart. I mean, he did kind of create the brain, so he knows how it works. But he answered a question with a question. Yeah, so in other words, I'll answer this if you'll answer this. Can I tell you how much wisdom there is for us? And there's wisdom in it because the Bible clearly says that the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are attentive, but his face is against evil and his head never moved in that whole description. So what, you can say you're righteous, but your mouth will tell on you. It has to be righteous according to him. Because that's what my righteousness is anyway. My righteousness is never about how good John is. It's always about how good Jesus is. So Jesus answered a question with a question. Let's see if I'm ready for this. There was a gift in the body of Christ. A man I consider a gift. His name is Ravi Zacharias. He just passed away not long ago. You ever heard of him? This is what put me on this trail of three Sundays of preaching. It's what I'm about to tell you. You remember 3 weeks ago when I started this series, I said, I thought I was going to preach this. Well, let me just prove to you. Page. There's 3 weeks right there. There we go. There's those notes. And I think today's the day to finish it up. I thought it was a starting place, but I believe it's a wrap it up place. Ravi Zacharias, full of wisdom. An incredible apologist. The Bible says that we are supposed to be ready to give an answer. This whole series is about the believer's response. The Bible says we're supposed to be ready to give a response. What if we learned to give a response like Jesus would have given? I'll answer this if you'll answer this. Can I tell you, that's already a mind blower right there. Because you can be ready. I was talking to my wife about this yesterday. Y'all are ready this morning. Y'all are like, just say it. I will. I was talking about my wife about something, and she was trying to think of a response. And I said, as we talked about it, we began to realize, you know what? We can be prepared, but we always have to leave room for the Holy Spirit. Because he's on the spot. Why would I be Johnny on the spot when I could be Johnny with the Holy Spirit on the spot? Best option. How many of you understand this? As information comes, sometimes what we say changes. We better have the best information. And the Holy Spirit and actually speak the perfect will of God. So, Rabbi Zacharias was at, I kind of want to write this down, it's so good. He was in a college, a university, and he was speaking. Okay, clean on both sides. He was speaking, and as he was speaking, he brought up, it caused controversy. That's what happens whenever a man like that begins to speak, especially in a university setting. You know, they love us so much as believers there. Someone stood up and asked him a question. I'm not going to say what the question was, but it had to do with an area. And said, why do you Christians have so much hatred in that area? And his answer was, I can't tell you all of it, but it was amazing. I'm going to keep my notes right here just so I think I got it, though. I mean, I've been looking at this every week. God, can I say it yet? Can I say it yet? Can I say it yet? So we live in a pluralistic society where all kinds of truth can be what is true. It's like your truth is what works. How do we negotiate that? How do we not negotiate? How do we navigate that? Because we're not really supposed to be up for negotiation as we follow the Lord. We're into navigation and following Him. Amen? So he was asked this question. And it amazes me. God, the wisdom, it just rolls. If you ever listen to Rabbi Zacharias, I mean, it rolls out of him. I'm like, God, if I could get one of those sentences, it just rolls and rolls and rolls and rolls. And he just like that, he said, I'll answer your question if you'll first answer mine. Can I tell you that Jesus had that response? So that's an okay response for us to have as believers? I'll answer your question if you'll answer mine. Ravi said this. He said, what kind of culture do we live in? And he said this. He said, I want you to tell me. Oh, my goodness. Remember what I said about the lawyer that asks you questions down the line? Woo! With as a master. But I believe the master wasn't just Ravi. I believe it was that Ravi had learned to hear the Spirit of the Lord. So what came out of his mouth was like his words. Sidebar. Y'all are going to be mad at me, but this is what it said. Psalm 31:4. I'll give you an Old Testament example. I'll give you a New Testament example. David said this, keep me from the trap that is set for me, for you are my refuge. New Testament example, Matthew 22:15. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. That was Jesus. But I'll answer this. And this was Jesus' response. Whenever he was trapped, or when they tried to trap him, he said, I'll answer that if you'll answer this. So Ravi had a trapping question. And he said, I'll answer that if you'll answer this. What kind of culture do we live in? Is it a theonomous culture? Theos, meaning God. Nomos, meaning law. Is it God's law where when God says something, we obey what he says? Is it a culture that is theonomous where God speaks, we hear what God said, and we obey that? And he also sets up what is morally correct. So God decides what is moral. Theonomous. Theos, God. Manos, law. God's law. Are we that culture? Of course not. And that was the person's answer. Are we? Of course not. We're not. You know where you're at? heteronymous. Are we a heteronymous culture? So I'll give you three chances. I'll give you this. This is chance number two. Are we a heteronymous culture? Other. Law. An example of this would be Islamic faith. What was another example of this? Was I got it in the? Well, there are more examples of this, but Islamic is the one it's leadership where someone else, the uppers are the leaders, and they hand down what everyone goes by. And they are leadership decides what is moral. Even to the washing of the hands. Even when you can worship. Even how you worship. Do you see that? It's leadership that decides for you what is the law. See that played out in Islam. Okay? And the leaders decide what is moral. Are we that? Last one. The wisdom of this thing. Autonomous. Did I spell it wrong? Now it says autonomous. Self-law. Where we individually, I am at the top. I decide the law. I decide what is morally right. Last verse, last chapter, Judges. In those days, there was no king, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. I decide what is morally right and wrong. So which one are we? Well, we're not theonomous, of course. We're not heteronomous. My goal, and this is the answer, the guy wanted to be self. Can I tell you that's what's inside the heart of man? Not to single that guy out. That's what you've got to deal. Scott, we talked about it this morning, self-control. I've got to control. I've got to govern myself that I keep myself here so that his blessings will flow down to me. And this is where it all came together. He said, now, about your question. If I answer your question in such a way that you don't approve of, are you going to switch and revert to a heteronymous law over me? Do you see that? Because we live in a culture now that has to do with tolerance. As long as it agrees with what someone else puts down, while they say, I want it to be autonomous, yet, if you don't agree with me, heteronymous. You can't have it both ways. That's the conundrum that we live in. But you don't engage in that if you have decided, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Can I tell you, he's taken all that away for you. He's taken all of that strife. And that's why you don't have to engage on the level where your neck is. I did something and I strained the other day, and my son came to me, started poking somebody. He said, Daddy, you got a vein coming out right there. I didn't even remember. I wasn't mad. It was just something I was, I guess, stressing or moving something or working a wrench or something. He said, Dad, you got a vein. I said, yeah, it happens. But God will let your veins settle down. He'll let you live in a place of peace. But you must control your tongue. You must control your lips. And you must be responsible for what you put out. Is this as impactful to you as it was to me? I'm telling you, that shook me to the core. I went, and my mother-in-law and Christine, they were having coffee, and I went in there, and I started telling them. I said, I was thinking about saving this, but I can't. I got to get it out. This is so powerful, but it's also so freeing. There's so much freeing to following the Lord. And it just, do you see how the trap got reversed? You can't trap that. You can't trap God. The question is very simple. I got a question for you. Answer me this. And it gives them the power to pave it, because that type of mindset will choose this, but then they'll default to that as soon as you don't agree. That's why, with this in my flesh, I do not, if I begin to attack with my mouth, if I begin, you know what, I've got good at, just so you know, I don't always look at y'all. When I said, if I begin to attack, I was looking at that beam right there, and I was looking through that door right there, and I was looking at that map. Because if I was like, if I begin, like Jessica does, to talk back to somebody. No. If this is what my flesh wants to do, but I engage and I don't guard my mouth, I am no better than anybody else, because of what God describes in His Word as Himself. His head, His face is against the evil. His eyes are on the righteous. His ears are attentive, but His face is against evil. And evil is not decided because there's a disagreement, unless that disagreement is with the Word of God. We even have the ability to disagree with each other peaceably, but we don't have the right to read someone the right act when this is in place. So while someone who has not learned to control their flesh, exactly the place they will go, even in a tolerant situation, they'll go right here to heterotomy, where, and actually they'll place themselves in leadership. And I'll tell you everything that you're doing wrong. So you give someone, it's okay to give them the privilege of autonomy if they'll give you the privilege of autonomy. My autonomous self has been under the control so that it is given. And my default now is not here. My default is here. Can I tell you, that is the place to be. Takes the pressure off. Takes the pressure off. Takes the pressure off. I'm not a doctor, but I know, I just heard a report yesterday. Way too many people in their 30s. How many, just besides me, how many of y'all are in your 30s? You know what the Bible's saying about your age group? Way too much hypertension. So is everybody stressed? Is anybody stressed? I saw a guy's little meme of somebody that was chilling. They had moved everything out of their refrigerator, and they were sitting inside their refrigerator on their phone. It said, they're chilling. So are you chilling? Or is there stress involved? Make sure this right here is happening. My default, I'm defaulting up Remember what we talked about being anchored up? Look, you can choose any response you want to. God is still so good that he allows you to choose any response you want to. But you do not get to choose outcomes unless you submit that to him. Will you come, Christine? The short of that is your response is where you are responsible. You are responsible. Boy, those words go together. You're responsible for your response. I'm responsible for my response. And you know who will judge it? The righteous God, according to his word. But before he judges it, I believe the criteria will be this. Remember the must that I put before those words? Remember the must before that sentence. You must control your lips. You must control your tongue. Then I'm able. Well, he's able already to discern between who is righteous and who is not. I know where I want to be found. And I know where his word always brings me back. That's why I said, you be careful for who speaks into your life. But if you'll let this speak into your life, you are being careful. You are being full of care. Because who speaks out of this is full of care for you.